begin our time together this morning, we're called to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's great to be able to be with you as we worship the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit this morning here at Harbor of Joy. If you're a guest with us, there's cards in the pew in front of you. If you'd like to fill those out and then drop it in the offering box after worship service, so we have that information. A special welcome to those of you joining us online. It's great to be able to have people from around the area join us online. If you fall asleep during the sermon, know that you can go to YouTube afterwards and watch it online. So don't, and then if you're watching it late at night and you fall asleep again, I've got to do a better job. So just to have that awareness. My name is Chris Townsend. I'm the intentional interim pastor here at Harbor of Joy. And I wonder how many of you have been to the movies recently. Before a movie, you often have an announcement slide, you know, all the marketing, the advertising, letting you know what's going on. And so many times when I've watched those, it's like, oh, I didn't get to read the whole screen. And it's done on purpose, so you'll pay attention next time. So some of you made a comment that our screens are running too fast for the announcements beforehand. We've lengthened them a little, so you'll be able to capture more. But hopefully you'll pay attention and see what's on there. One of the things that wasn't on there is we have a plethora of plastic containers with people's names on them, and they're out in the kitchen. Don't go now, after, during fellowship time. We have wonderful fellowship after worship. We have quiche, I believe, is the dish. And this is from the 1980s. Real men do eat quiche. So just be aware of that. Go ahead and pick up your plastic containers. And part of that comes from our Wednesday night fellowship. We had a wonderful time together on Wednesday night. So thank you if you helped organize, if you helped serve food, if you cleaned up, if you were part of the entertainment, whatever you did, and if you were here on Wednesday night, thank you for that blessing. It was a wonderful time together. CJ was our entertainment, and that was a blessing as well. I also have an announcement. You may have noticed a rack of chairs in the back, some metal chairs. We have a bunch of extras here at Harbor of Joy. So if you need to grab one or two chairs that you can have at home, go ahead and do that and be blessed by that. Last week, some of you really enjoyed the Ole joke that I shared. So I thought before we get into worship, I'd share another one. Ole and Lena decided to come down from Minnesota and vacation here in Okoboji. While they were here, they heard about this once-in-a-lifetime experience that you could go scuba diving in West Lake. And they thought, wow, that's going to be really cool. Lena and Ole were talking about it for a while. And then Lena asked Ole, after she had some observations, Lena said, why do scuba divers fall backwards into the water? And Ole thought about it for a little while. And he said, well, Lena, they have to fall backwards because if they fell forward, they'd still be in the boat. Some of you will laugh later about that one. Would you please stand for our call to worship? It's based on Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters, and he refreshes my soul. Even though I walk through the darkest valleys of life, I will fear no evil, for you are with me when I stumble and even fall. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, as I confess to you when I fall down. Because you went to the cross for me, when I fall down, you pick me up as I dwell in the house of the Lord. Amen. I invite the praise team to come forward as they'll be leading us in song.
I was asked to give just a quick discussion of each song. Are You Washed in the Blood? It was written by a Presbyterian minister, and he wrote over 2,000 hymns. Elisha Hoffman was his name, and it was written in 1878. Are You Washed in the Blood of the Lamb? or your garment spotless. The significance to him from Revelation 7:14 was the cleansing us from sin. By a group called Hillsong, I'm sure you've heard it on the radio. It comes from the book of Zephaniah 3:17. God is mighty to save. Though we've done nothing to merit his favor, God, full of mercy and grace, sent his only son, Jesus, to pay the debt that we could never pay. He is truly mighty to save.
He rose and conquered.
Thank you, praise team. Congregation can be seated as we continue in worship with the prayer of the day, which we will share together as it comes on the screen. Please join with me. Lord Jesus, you are the living water. When our souls are parched and weary, fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Quench our thirst and wash away our daily troubles. Amen. I'd like to invite Angie to come forward as she's going to be sharing our readings for today.
Our first reading is from the Old Testament prophet Jonah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Now hear God's word. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayers rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, 'Salvation comes from the Lord.' And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." This ends our first reading. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Hear God's word. "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" This ends our readings, and I invite Pastor Chris to come up and share this morning's message.
I think this might be yours.
Yeah.
I think Lutherans put their name on any jello dish or whatever happens. It's just the way we do it. Well, grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. This will be a unique start for a sermon here for me at Harbor of Joy. Some of what you will hear this morning are my reflections based on the many home visits I was able to do with so many of you. During many of these home visits, you expressed your strong Christian Lutheran faith, and I greatly appreciated that. You shared stories with me as well, stories of your life and your journey, and you expressed your love for Harbor of Joy as well. You also shared in many conversations the journey you've traveled on in your faith, but also the journey here for many of you at Harbor of Joy in the past and in the present time as well. Your love for this place comes in many forms, from connecting with one another in Christian fellowship to trying to be at peace with one another when you don't see eye to eye with one another, to making solid decisions, to partaking in things like improving the building safety, improving the electrical systems, cleaning out spaces, improving usage of spaces, beautifying spaces, improving ministries, setting policies and procedures, reorganize or simply organizing, creating stronger worship through solid lay leadership, liturgy, song selection, bulletins, projections, And yet, with all that said, there is so much more to do in the body of Christ as we move forward together. A lot is being done every day, all in preparation for the next permanent pastor. A big part of preparing for that future, for that next permanent pastor, is to be in prayer for the call committee. I don't know if you hold them in your prayer life or you just hear about it on Sunday morning, but I would simply ask you to list them in your prayers each day, maybe multiple times a day, praying that the Holy Spirit directs their actions, praying that the call committee members feel encouraged through your prayers, that every one of them are acting in a biblical manner as they seek the next permanent pastor here for Harbor of Joy. And as we prepare for that permanent pastor here at Harbor, I found out through the home visits that some of you are going through storms. Storms in the past and also storms in the present. Some of those storms have been active for 16 years, as that's how old this church is. Or some of them have arrived recently in your life and caused challenges for you. Some are within your immediate family and some are within the Harbor family. Storms, no matter where they come from, cause havoc and often cause unrest. But it's how we plan to get through the storm. That's what's important. And importantly is it's who we depend upon when we're in the storm and working through the storm. When that storm's swirling around us, are we dependent upon Jesus Christ to grab hold of us and pull us closer to Him? This morning's message is water, storms, faith. So I have a question for you. Right now, today, are you walking on the water with Jesus? Remember last week we talked about a disciple walking on the water, Peter, bold guy. Stepped out of the boat. That's a good thing. Was walking on water. That's an awesome thing. Because he was focusing on Jesus. He was trusting Jesus. He was walking towards Jesus. But then he let the world around him consume him in a moment. And he sunk like Petra, like the rock that he is. But Jesus was there to pull him up. As Jesus is here to pull each and every one of us up when we struggle as well. So are you in the midst of a life storm? Have you ever tried to get out of a storm by yourself and found that that was harder than how you ended up in the storm? We need to find ways to step out of the storms of life and step closer to Jesus each and every day. We don't want the storms to follow us. We want those storms to be left behind, to be shedded from us as when we're getting out of the water and the water just drips off of us. We want the storms of life to be behind us, not on us or in front of us. Many of you may have related to the gospel text that Angie just read a moment ago. You've probably heard it many, many times, but I'd like to think about it in this fashion this morning. Jesus needed to get away from the crowds. He was being pushed on by thousands of people. The crowds wanted time with Jesus. Just like you and I, if Jesus was here, we'd want time with him too. We'd want to push closer to him and get our time with our Lord and Savior. But in that time, a couple thousand years ago, the crowd was pushing on him. And he wanted to separate himself from the crowd. And we have to be willing to do that as well, to separate ourselves from the crowd. At times we need to be willing to take that step back or to the side or even forward to get away from that possible crowd, that group that may not be healthy for us to be part of. Jesus, in his part, walked away from the crowd. The popular opinion he walked away from that crowd so he could share the good news with another crowd, with other people. And let me explain that. Jesus' idea to cross over to the other side was a distinct mark in his ministry. To that time, he had hung out with the Gentiles. The Gentiles in that era were known as those that were not Jewish. So in his early ministry, he's hanging out generally with the Jewish people. But this is a distinction that theologians really lift up, that Jesus was going to purposely go with his disciples, his followers, into the Gentile territory. And that was a challenge. The disciples and Jesus got into the boat. They followed his direction. They got away from the crowd. But theologians also speculate there were other boats that ended up following them that were filled with Gentiles. And it's speculated that some of the disciples were having a problem with that. They didn't necessarily want to reach out to those other people because they were in their comfort zone with their brothers and their sisters in the Jewish tradition. They were okay with Jesus. He was a rabbi. He's a Jew. So they were connected well there and with their brothers and sisters of the Jewish faith. So the disciples, many have written about, may not have been pleased with the action that Jesus was taking at the time to include Gentiles in this ministry. And their attitude is reflected as well in that text. But it's also a good reflection for us about trusting. In the reading from Jonah that was shared just a moment ago, we heard about an attitude, about how our attitudes reflect certain things. And we as Christians who happen to be part of the Lutheran tribe of Christianity must be willing to connect with people that we don't normally connect with. And why do we do that? In order to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We don't do it just for kicks. We do it purposely to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Some of you did that this past Wednesday. Our Wednesday night fellowship event was wonderful. Over 60 people were there. Of the 60 plus people that were there, 20% of those people had never been here before. They came by invitation. As some of you in this congregation stepped out of the boat and were walking in the neighborhood inviting people. So that's how some of those individuals came. And if you handed out a flyer, thank you for that. Whether it was to a friend or somebody at an apartment, wherever it was, thank you for doing that. Because it was great to have people gathered here, some for the very first time, and watch some of you go sit at their tables and talk with them as a Christian, as one who desires to love on other people. Oh, sorry for that quick shift of gears. I was getting off on that in a different direction. Let's get back to what I was talking about. The disciples that were with Jesus, they needed to be willing to step out of that boat, that comfort that they were in, and connect with others in the name of Jesus. Oh, has anyone ever been on the Sea of Galilee? Some of you have. You've went to the Holy Land. I've been there as well. And sometimes when you go to the Holy Land, one of the events that you do is take a boat out onto the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is wonderful. You see a map, a picture of it. The big blue arrows pointing to the Sea of Galilee, because I thought that text is really small. So you're going to go, is that East Lake or what's going on here? So that is the Sea of Galilee. You may not be aware of this, that the Sea of Galilee is in the deepest part of the Jordan Rift. It's 700 feet below sea level. Below sea level. It's surrounded, as you can see, by cliffs and mountains. It's surrounded, except for the southern extremities, as you can see, the lower part there. And this is where the Jordan Rift area, with the hot air rising and the cool air falling from the higher elevations, creates what? Creates waves. Now, on the Sea of Galilee, they've measured waves in modern time up to 20 feet. They didn't go surfing out there at times. A lot bigger than the waves on West Lake, right, on West Okoboji. But those are big. So can you imagine being in a boat, possibly 10, 15, 20-foot waves 2,000 years ago coming at you? That's what the disciples were experiencing as Jesus was just hanging out in the back of the boat. He wasn't excited about it. He knew what to do. But this map of Israel, this sea looks like a large lake. It's beautiful. Those of you who have been there have enjoyed it. Sometimes it's calm. Sometimes you could just take a simple fishing boat on it. But then sometimes the winds come up and catch you in a storm. We know that at least four of the disciples, the original disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, were fishermen. So they were used to going out on this lake. They were used to the storms of the lake. So the other disciples that were with Jesus in the boat probably were, if my English is bad here, were more scared than the others that were in the boat. But all of them were fearful in the boat. They all expressed that. Probably because they had friends that had been lost, that had died on the lake when a storm came up. But Jesus' disciples were strong. They were self-reliant men. They had a life before they started walking with Jesus, and they could handle what we would call moderate danger. And they could do that without any issue. But the danger that night was above moderate, possibly deadly. In Mark's gospel, the sea, according to many theologians, I love this writing, represents evil forces, forces that oppose God. And it's important for us to also know that the sea, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, was a boundary. The Gentiles were on the other side. The Jewish people over here, the Gentiles over there. Some would say those heathens were over there. They didn't believe in the ways of the Hebrew people, the Jewish people. So the sea was threatening that night, threatening to undo them in the boat. And Jesus wanted to cross over despite that, because I can understand this, and I pray you can as well, that the good news has to be shared. It can't just be held on to. But Jesus was teaching his disciples they had to step out and share the good news, share the revelation on the other side of the sea. The gospel is for everyone, not just not the Holy Spirit. Or I've never heard the Holy Spirit act like that, but I hope that's not a fire alarm.
It is.
Can somebody check on it before I go on?
I think we're okay.
Okay. Just want to make sure. I mean, the Holy Spirit can be moving, but, you know, fire moves too. So, we're all okay? Just pull it off the wall and throw it outside like I do at home. Nobody's ever done that? Come on now. Come on, you've done that. Well, anyways, that's going to be really annoying. Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah, just toss that little round circular thing outside. Are they getting there? Yeah. I'm looking. I don't see any flames of the Holy Spirit out there yet. So, yay. All right. There we go. That'll help us. Thank you, whoever took care of that. I don't know if that means that the meal's going to be really hot or burnt. We'll get there, though. But the gospel, as I said, is for everyone. The storm was upsetting, and so was the fact that Jesus was asleep during the storm. Can you imagine being out on the lake and the captain of your boat? I'm going to take a nap, and everything starts being chaotic, and your captain's still sleeping. Well, they looked at Jesus as their captain, their leader, and he's just chill. He's not worried about it, because he knows who's in charge. But the disciples wanted to wake Jesus up and alert him to this difficult situation. They wanted him, Jesus, to take command of this situation and to take care of them. That's what they were probably really worried about. They were in fear. They maybe thought Jesus was sleeping, that he abandoned them in this crisis. But the heart of their fear, even though they believed in Jesus, the heart of their fear was the lack of faith. And we spoke about that last week. They actually abandoned Jesus, the one who could control nature, the God incarnate. They weren't connected deeply with him in that moment. The real heart of the disciples' fear was their failure to recognize that Jesus can overcome any challenge that is put before him. And faith is not simple. It needs strength. And it needs courage. Faith isn't weak. This is good. This is a quote. Life storms often bring out our true spiritual condition. An older friend of mine who is now in heaven shared that. Life storms often bring out our true spiritual condition. Too many of us want faith to be simple, to be nice, to be comfortable. And it's not always that way. Faith requires hard work. Yes, in our Lutheran Christian tradition, that's one of the blessings we receive from God, faith. Powerful. We all receive it who've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who've been marked with the cross of Christ forever, who've been sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. But we need to be at work in our faith, reading Scripture, doing devotions, doing what God desires for us. So faith sometimes requires hard work, and it involves a higher and higher level of trusting Jesus with everything in your life. And if we lose faith, we lose hope, and in turn, our ability to properly care for ourselves and one another. Hear this clearly. I use this phrase during COVID a lot. Fear wipes out faith. If you're walking in fear, you're wiping out faith. The discipleship life, following Jesus, is a life of faith. Taking each step, knowing that he's beside us, knowing that he's in front of us, knowing that he's behind us, encouraging us. Faith is a deep bedrock trust in God's presence, not only in our lives, but in the world, the church as well, as you see it on the screen. When the storms of life occur, we come to the truth of how deep our faith is, how we're connected with Jesus, because he's the one that'll pull us through the storm. And safety is not, this is another quote from a pastor friend of mine, safety is not the absence of trouble, it is the presence of Jesus. Safety is not the absence of trouble, it is the presence of Jesus. We find safety in our relationship with Jesus. And Jesus has commanded us over, has command of us over everything. Even though we may think, gosh, Jesus doesn't seem to be connected to me today. All this stuff is going on. Please know Jesus is still there. He'll connect with you in the time and the fashion that he desires for you. We just have to take those steps of faith forward. From our gospel text, the fact that Jesus slept through the storm reflects his human nature to a degree, but the fact that he calmed the storm reflects his godly nature. Remember, Jesus was fully God and a blessing for us. And I think God sent the storm to teach the disciples a lesson on faith. He often sends storms into our life to teach us as well, to guide us to his basic principles of trusting in him. And each of us, I know this because it's a blessing, each of us has a measure of faith that God has given us, that we're walking with, we're improving ourselves with. He wants us to use that faith in order to overcome any fear that is in our personal life, in the church life, in our family life, in our corporate life. He wants us to walk with him to overcome those fears. And fears, think about this, fears tell us to expect the worst, right? If we're fearful, we're expecting the worst. But faith puts us to the other side. God's got it. He's in control. Let's walk with him. Let's follow Jesus. Faith simply tells us that God is in control, that life's problems are a call to put our faith in God into action, no matter the situation. We know Jesus can calm the storms in a crashing sea. We have faith that he did that. So we should have faith that we walk with him and face our fears each and every day. That he can take the fury of the storm away and allow us to walk in faith with him. And please know this as well. This scripture teaches us that Jesus came so he could reach to the outcast, to the people that weren't necessarily in the fold of life and faith. He wanted to do that so he could heal mind, body, and spirit. And he cared about the little things too. Some people talk about, man, Jesus calmed the storm. That's a huge one. Well, Jesus also turned water into wine. I think that's an awesome miracle, but in his miracles, that's a pretty minor miracle. When he takes 10 lepers and heals them, that's a big one. Water into wine, that's cool. But 10 lepers? Calming the sea? This is big stuff. And Jesus has that power, and he has that ability to connect with us and calm the storms in our life today. He cares for us. He reaches out to anyone who finds themselves being swamped by the storms of the day. Please know that. Jesus loves you. He wants you to pull you out of those storms closer to him each and every day. Not just you, but people that aren't like you as well. Maybe people that aren't walking in faith. Jesus wants them to walk with him, and we may be that tool to assist them in that journey. Jesus told his disciples, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. We're in this boat together. We're going to get to our destination. But he never promised them when they climbed in the boat that they would have still waters the whole time through in their journey. And the same is true for us. Jesus has never promised us, oh, it just came to mind. I can't think of who sings at a rose garden. Jesus never promised us a rose. I'm showing my age. I think that's like Helen Reddy or somebody like that. Somebody of maturity will tell me later. But Jesus never promised us a rose garden necessarily. Or is that Carly Simon? I'm sorry, my mind's going. See that Holy Spirit cooking back there? That's going in different ways. But even though he didn't promise us this rose garden, this figurative thing that I'm sharing, he promised to walk with us, to be with us, to bless us through the storms of life. I've spoken with some of you, as I mentioned at the beginning, during the home visits, who have storms from death, divorce, breakups, shattered dreams, job loss, or being spiritually adrift. And we talked about God's promises in those moments with some of you, of his presence with you. When the storms hit us, we should be declaring that Jesus' promises are strong. They are not null and void when the storms hit us. They are strong and will get us through the storms as we trust in his real presence, as we trust in his real purpose, his compassion and control that he has for all who follow him. Jesus rebuked the disciples for doubting. I don't know if you caught that. Jesus rebuked his disciples, those he trusted, those that walked with him. He rebuked them for doubting that he could save them. And that rebuke probably caused even more fear in them, in those disciples. But the fear they had now was, wow, this guy can calm the storm. I mean, if you met somebody like that here in this day and age that could just say some words, reach out his hands, and the storm is calm, you're like, whoa, dude. I don't know how they reacted to Jesus, except for maybe having fear of his power. The story reveals Jesus' power and Jesus being God incarnate as well. Jesus did not rebuke the disciples for their lack of faith, and he does not rebuke us for our lack of faith either. Our doubting doesn't turn Jesus away. Sometimes we're like the disciples in this gospel truth from Mark. We're in the midst of the storms of life, and sometimes some of us feel that Jesus has actually abandoned us, but nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus is with us, again, in the middle of every storm, reaching out to us, pulling us closer to him if we open our hearts and our eyes and our ears and pay attention to what he wants for us. Even through difficult times, Jesus is walking with us. The real test for us in this capacity, the real test, are we walking with Jesus? Are we sincere in our walk with Jesus? Are we trusting fully in Jesus? And we each need to have that great measure of faith, that great measure of trust and confidence in Jesus the Christ, that he will calm every storm, every time, in his time and in his way as each of them arrive. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Jesus, remain with us in whatever storm we may be in the midst of, personally, corporately. Bless us with wisdom to hold on to the faith that you've measured to us, that you've gifted to us. May we be strong because you are strong. And I pray this in your mighty name. And all of God's people said, amen. I invite the praise team forward to lead us in song.
Well, the topic is storms. And while we're getting that, many of you, I'm sure, have heard the song It Is Well With My Soul, and probably have heard the words behind it. This gentleman, Horatio Stafford, had many troubles, many storms in his life. 1870, his son died. Chicago Fire of 1871. Ruined him financially. And then in 1873, all four of his daughters died in a shipwreck while crossing the Atlantic. His wife's famous telegram said, "Saved alone." He was inspired to write this hymn when he was crossing the spot where the shipwreck happened on the way to his wife in 1873. It is well with my soul.
Whatever.
At this time, I would ask you to join together in prayer with me. You see it on the screen. It's a prayer for the financial offering that people have given as they've come in, or maybe you'll have to do it when you leave, or maybe you've done it electronically. So would you join with me in this prayer? Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, our time, our talents, and our treasures, signs of your gracious love. Thank you.
Receive our tithes and offerings for the sake of him who
offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now would you continue in prayer with me as I offer prayers for the people and more. God, we give thanks for continued healing of those within the Harbor family that have been sick. We also pray that you continue to be with Mark as he rehabs in Lamar's from his knee injury, and he may be home soon. Praise you. We continue to pray for the United States Senator Lindsey Graham's family upon his sudden death last week. We also offer prayers for service members recently killed overseas. Comfort their families and guide all involved. And Lord, we take a moment to offer names out loud or in the silence of our heart for those we personally know that need your comfort, guidance, and healing. We do that at this time. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing our pleas. Jesus, we give thanks for the call process as we ask you to be a strong influence on any pastor that may be interested in serving you and the people of Harbor of Joy. We ask that you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, guide the leadership here in order that your wisdom prevails in your church. And Jesus, we also thank you for receiving Fran and Don Payne into eternal glory as they were some of the founding members here at Harbor and their memorial is today. And we continue to pray for the entire Okoboji area. May churches be welcoming and may businesses flourish as we pray for those visiting here. May there be joy and safety as family and friends gather. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus, who also, through our church fathers, shared this Christian statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed. Please join together as it comes up on the screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Would you please stand as we have our sending song, Denny, My Lighthouse.
And we jump ahead about 150 years from the last year to an Irish group called Rain Collective. In 2014, they were inspired by John 8, verse 12. Jesus is the light of the world. And Matthew 14:22, Jesus calmed the storm. We trust in God's promise to carry me safe to shore.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence you won't let go. In your questions the truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. Carry me safe to shore, safe to troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea.
Before the sending blessing, please know that you're all welcome to partake in fellowship after worship. We all know something's cooking, right? So go and enjoy that. Receive the sending blessing. God bless you and keep you. May God go before you and be next to you and behind you during your journey this day and always. Amen. And then our sending, go in peace and serve the Lord.
In the middle there, but